Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Years ago, I had a very good friend, Father Francis Marco Longo. We affectionately called him Father Marky. And he was retired, but his ministry was saying Mass every Sunday at an over 55 apartment complex, or a bunch of folks in that apartment complex couldn't get out to church on Sunday. So he brought church to them. They set up a sanctuary in the community room every Sunday, and it was a wonderful ministry. And it's where I got to know him a little bit through another friend of mine, a younger priest named Father Billy. And to kind of start off, there's a story that Father Billy told me about Father Francis, and Father Francis passed away a few years back, and I miss him dearly, but he was a great, great, great man. But one Sunday, Father Billy was helping him set up for Mass over at the Casa, we called it. And Father Billy was putting out a chalice, an older chalice that Father Francis was using. And when he put it on the altar, he noticed that the chalice was kind of bent, had a tilt to it. You know, and Billy looked at Father Francis and said, you know, I can fix that chalice for you. And Father Francis vehemently said, don't you dare. And for Marky, or Father Francis, he says, it serves as a reminder that the only perfect thing is what goes into that chalice. None of us are perfect, only Christ. The way Father Billy and I put it, it's kind of a reminder that although we are imperfect, just like the chalice, we are loved perfectly. You know, today's gospel and our readings today, really, there's a theme. And for me, the theme is mercy. Another word of mercy is love as well, but mercy. When Father Marky passed several years ago, his son gifted me a big box. He goes, this is for you. And I'm like, what's in there? I see all these spiral-bound notebooks in this box. Well, Marky didn't have a computer. He had every Sunday at the Casa, he hand wrote his notes for Sunday, his homily, his services. So I have all of his stuff, which is, it's kind of a blessing. It's on my shelf in the office. And when I'm getting ready to preach, you know, I have ideas in my mind what things I want to write. And I had already written the majority of this one for this week, but I saw his reflection on this second Sunday of Easter as well. And it was like we were on the same page. It's like, okay, I hear you, Father Marky. But I wanted to quote something that I saw that really sums things up this week. Father Marky says, today's gospel provides food for thought, where the risen Christ makes his present felt to the followers who are hiding in fear after the events following his death. He greets them, peace be with you. Peace is in short supply when there are grips of fear, anxiety, mistrust, and doubt. In Jesus' interaction with Thomas, Jesus lets us know that mercy does not seek to punish us for a lack of faith, but to accept us in forgiveness, to unite us from all obstacles that get in the way of our freedom to experience and share God's unconditional love, generosity, and compassion. That's the message of mercy. I kind of find it interesting, with this Sunday's reading, we go to Thomas the Apostle really stands out, and I think Thomas gets a bad rap. I mean, until I see him and put my finger in the wounds. But he wasn't the only disciple that experienced fear and doubt, was he? During Jesus' agony in the garden on Gethsemane, before he was taken away, he pleaded with his apostles, stay awake with me and pray. What did he do? He kept finding them and they were sleeping. Peter denied Jesus three times. And what happened after Jesus was arrested? Many of the apostles scattered. They ran away in fear. After Jesus rose, they were locked in a room because they were afraid of suffering the same fate as Jesus. Even after all they seen and all they heard throughout the past 3 years of Jesus' ministry, the many healings, The raising of the little girl from the dead, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, walking on water, feeding thousands. And they still feared. They still lacked faith. You know, it was kind of interesting that Mary Magdalene was the first person to see Jesus resurrected. However, they didn't believe her. They had to run to the tomb themselves. I know Mary Magdalene wasn't married to any of the apostles, but, you know, my wife even says this still goes on today. We don't listen to the ladies in our lives. Hey, guilty as charged. Anyway, it still goes on. But earlier this week in the church, we have daily readings, and it also recanted the gospel account where the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus joined them, but they didn't recognize him. They told Jesus about all the story. Don't you know about the story that happened this week about Jesus? And when they finally got to their destination and Jesus broke bread, that's when they saw, that's when they recognized him, and he vanished. Despite everything in today's gospel, Jesus describes mercy. It's interesting that to me that the apostles were, again, they were scared, and they were in a locked room. And I often wondered, and I pondered when I was writing this, what doors remain locked in our own hearts every day or every week that stops us from letting Jesus enter into our lives? A lot of fear, sometimes self-fear, self-doubt, a lot of things are going on. But again, Jesus, the gospel today is about mercy. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, and whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." It's, I find it interesting as well that he entered the room through a locked door. However, he still had physical form. And his wounds remain despite the resurrection. You know, we've all fallen short of God's goodness, and we all suffer from our own wounds in our lives, don't we? We all have physical ailments, pain, suffering, emotional issues, sadness, anger, fear, distress, grief. We also experience spiritual distress, feeling disconnected from God. We have our own reasons for that. And sometimes we don't think God answers our prayers fast enough. There are many things that we go through in our lives, like, why did this happen to me? Why is this going on? We have our spiritual distress as well. You know, our wounds, some heal quickly. Other wounds take time, and some linger. And often, when we hurt others, or we are hurt by others, it's really challenging and difficult for us to forgive, isn't it? It often takes time to completely build trust again. Not so with Jesus. Mercy. You know, although throughout Jesus' life, he did admonish his disciples at the times for their lack of faith, and each one of the disciples are now what? They are saints in the church. Amazing. You know, I pray that each of us can unlock those doors in our own lives, in our own hearts, and let the love of Christ and his mercy embrace you and embrace each and every one of us. You know, I'm in the belief that our church is not intended to be a shrine for saints, but the church should be a place of healing, a place where anyone can come to feel the mercy of Christ and share his presence together as we celebrate the Eucharist as a community. As we have received mercy and grace and love of Jesus, Jesus is calling us, and as he called the disciples, to do the same. He challenges us to show mercy, forgiveness, love, and compassion, and to support one another. Now, mind you, we don't have to be perfect people to be a witness of Christ. Lord knows I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. The only perfect thing is Jesus. You know, many of the disciples he called were not educated. They were ordinary men with faults, shortcomings, and weaknesses. And I'm sure they had doubts. And they felt they weren't qualified to do what Jesus called them to do either. He didn't choose disciples with doctorates in theology to begin his mission. But just remember that Jesus doesn't call the equipped. He equips the ones he calls. For his disciples, it was through mercy and the gift of the Holy Spirit when he commanded, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." And that's when the miracle happened. Through mercy, and once the apostles received the Spirit, the church was on fire. Look at the Acts of the Apostles today, where the disciples were proudly proclaiming in the temple about Jesus' resurrection. And of course, the leaders, "You need to stop doing that." No. The apostles, if you ever read the Acts of the Apostles, the stories of the healing and the faith that they had, it's through that power of the Holy Spirit, and that they received God's love and God's mercy that allowed those miracles to happen. And it can happen to each and every one of you today. If we genuinely love Jesus, the truth will shine through for everyone to see. The truth of our love for Jesus and his love for us is also reflected in our actions and the way we live our lives. Now, mind you, Jesus doesn't expect perfection from us, but he does expect us to love him, to receive his mercy, but also to give to others what we receive from him. Christ chose imperfect people just like me and you. And we have to share this world as well. The other people that live in the world are also imperfect people. But the good news is that Jesus understands this. And he loves us anyway. His mercy endures forever. I pray that Christ will use each and every one of us to show his love, compassion, and mercy to others. And as we receive Christ today as a community in the Eucharist, let us open our hearts to receive his love and mercy for us, and to love and to support one another as a community. Remember, although we're not perfect, we are loved perfectly.